James 1, read verses 18 through 20 with them. Verses 18 through 20. Of His own will, God's will, begat He, gave birth to us, God's people, His chosen, with the word of truth, the gospel, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, for this reason, as first fruits, my beloved brethren, let every man, let every woman, every person be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now, this is so very needful. Needful for me and for you, if you're like me, that when you're offended, and which can be very often, that you find wrath rising up quickly in you. This is so very vital. And speaking of being swift to hear and slow to speak, Scripture says so very much about the tongue. This is so vital. Listen to this Scripture from Proverbs. This is how serious it is. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his soul from many troubles. That your soul is somehow directly connected to what comes out of your mouth. That's how serious it is. Very needful. The wrath of man, he said, worketh not the righteousness of God, or what is right. Doesn't do. When we get angry, we won't do what's right. We'll do what's wrong every time. It won't work anything but more anger and more wrath. And the chief cause of our anger and wrath and strife and division is this. So that's how important this is. Chapter 3, verse... look at this. Chapter 3, verse 2 says, in many things we offend all. You know, our personalities are so different from one another that, well, you know, people aren't like us and we think so highly of ourselves. In many things we offend all. If any man offend, though, not in word, offend not in word, the same, that's a perfect man. Now, that's a mature man. Didn't he begin this whole book by talking about let wisdom have, patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. That is, the measure of the stature of the fullness of a man like Jesus Christ. Now, there's a perfect man. Perfect in thought, word, indeed. And he says there in verse 2, if any man offend not in word, the same, that's a perfect, that's a mature person, able to bridle the whole body. You see how vital this is. I don't think, you know, we've looked at this four or five times in the past, and I don't think it's really occurred to me how vital this is. He says, if you can bridle your tongue, bridle your whole body. Do you understand what that means? I don't think I did either. Just began to study it. But a perfect man. Look at chapter 1, verse 26. Look at this. It says, if any man among you seem to be religious, he sounds religious, he talks religious, she talks religious, she says the right things, but bridleth not his tongue, deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So, this is so vital. All right. Now, this is taken in context. Verse 18 of chapter 1 says, he begat his people with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, first fruit. Do you have a marginal reference to that, first fruits? Many of you do. It will tell you to turn to Revelation 14. Go over there. And I cannot recommend enough that you look at those scriptural references, because the Lord led these men to really search the scriptures. And time again, when I look them up, it's exactly the verse that needs, that goes with this. Revelation 14 speaks of these first fruits, these people that are first fruits unto God. Revelation 14:4. These are they, that is, these many thousands before the throne, are they which were not defiled with women. Now, you know, it says they're virgins. You know it's not talking about physically virgins, because women don't defile. A wife's a gift. The bed is undefiled, right? And married. It's talking about false religion, a great whore, and that fornication. These are virgins. So that is, they're completely separated unto and sanctified to and saved for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is their husband. They don't follow. They're not in bed with any of this false religion today. Christ is their husband. They're all. They're love. Read on. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Literally, when the gospel's preached, you'll find them there. Read on. They were redeemed, bought from among men. See, Christ didn't buy everybody, but He bought these. And they're the first fruits unto God. See that? And to the Lamb. Read on. In their mouth. Look at the connection. In their mouth. No guile. Like Nathaniel. Unlike the Pharisees who said and did not. Our Lord said, they say, but they don't do. Not God's people. And they're without fault before the throne. Go back to our text. James 1. So these are our first kind of first fruits of His creatures. A new creature. That's what He's talking about. A new creature created in Christ Jesus. Did you hear Brother Mahan's message on the radio this morning? That was along these lines. Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. The man, Jesus Christ, born of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Christ came as a man. Oh, did He bear fruit unto God the Father? Everything He, like I said, thought, everything He spoke, grace poured from His lips. You're talking about slow to anger. You're talking about edifying speech. You're talking about saying the right things out of a pure heart. Oh my. No man spake like this in so many ways. Authority, mercy, love, grace, kindness. He's the creature. He's the great creator in whose image that God's people are created. This is what we want, isn't it? This is why we're saved, to be conformed to the image of Christ. New creatures in Christ Jesus. Our Lord, oh my, He was so very wise. He was wisdom personified. Our Lord knew what to answer, didn't He? Knew who to answer and who not to answer. When to answer, how to answer. I want that. Listen to this, and you can turn with, if you want to, 1 Peter, just a couple of pages. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, 22. Do you understand how often the Lord was insulted and dishonored and false witnesses against Him? Every day of His life, every hour, somebody was hurling insults and accusations and offending Him. You're talking about Him being offended. But listen to this. 1 Peter 2, 22, he says of Christ, he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. Oh, do you want to learn that? Well, learn it from him. We need to learn it. This is wisdom. Reviling back will not work any righteousness. It won't do it. On the contrary, the wise man said, a soft answer. The only thing that will turn it away. Right. What wisdom this is. Read on. When he suffered, and oh how he suffered, daily, he threatened not, but committed himself to the real judge. The real judge. He didn't defend himself. Rarely defended himself. A couple of times he did, but rarely did. Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. And look at chapter 3 in our text, verse 17. Oh, how every verse speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have it, chapter 3, verse 17 of James says, the wisdom that is from above, that's Christ in it, and the wisdom He gives His people is first pure, peaceable, gentle. Oh, blessed are the peacemakers. That's Christ in it. And that's His people. Gentle, easy to be entreated, not unapproachable, but full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy, not saying one thing and doing another and not doing. And the fruit of righteousness, here it is, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. Oh, did He not sow peace? And did He not make righteousness? Of them, though, you're talking about God's people, as He is, so are they. He's sown in peace by them that make peace. They're peacemakers. They pursue it. They do like Christ. He came to make peace for people that didn't want it, for enemies. And He said, you love your enemies like I did. You want peace? You won't have it by fighting. Nothing but wars and rumors of war come from our own lust. We fight and desire to have, James. Chapter 4. He said that, oh, this wisdom from above. Do you know anything about this? Some of you do, but you dare not say so. Some of you do. Many of you do, and I thank God for that. But, oh, how we need to grow in grace, and how I feel like I don't know anything about this at all. Now, that's why we should approach this. As I said, we've looked at this several times before. That we should approach this as little children, like I've never heard this before. I need to know this. I don't know anything about what you're talking about. Christ bore much fruit to the glory of God. First fruits to God. He loved God. First fruits. First fruit. Religion talks about love. They don't love God. They don't love God. God as God. Love His rights to be God. Love Christ's righteousness and so on. But Christ bore much fruit to the glory of God. The fruit of love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, compassion, understanding, forbearance, forgiveness, holiness, purity. Oh, to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that your desire? Now notice this in our text, chapter 1. That this conformation, conformed to His image is done by verse 18, being born with the Word of Truth. This new creature is created in the image of Christ. How? By the Word of Truth. The Word of Truth. faith that is not just a profession from the mouth, but a profession of the life. Read the article on Daniel. Did you read that yet? Read it. But this profession, it says Christ witnessed a good profession of faith before Pilate. He witnessed his life. And this is so much more than the mouth, but it's the whole life. Okay? And it says, faith which is much more, and James, the whole book of James is about faith being proved by work. That faith without works, it's not faith at all. Not faith at all. It's just talk. But the fruit of faith is works like Christ, and the fruit of righteousness. And it says, faith cometh by hearing. Not only our understanding of who God is and what we are and who Christ is and a heart to believe and trust Christ, but this faith that is a walk cometh by hearing. Cometh by hearing. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is what for? Why does He give it? Listen. It's profitable for doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You say, Christ is our righteousness. Absolutely. 100%. Imputed and imparted. But read on. Profitable for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Ephesians 2:8. By grace are you saved through faith. Don't you love that verse? Do you love the rest of it? Oh my. This is what salvation is all about. By grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Barnard said, salvation is God recreating the image of Jesus Christ in a human being. And that's what it is. David said, I'm going to behold thy face. Psalm 17:15. Somebody asked me where that was, and I misquoted it. So take heart. I said, that's in Psalm 60. No, it wasn't. But David said, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Whose? Christ. This is the holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. It's also the holiness which every man presses toward. David said, and I will not be satisfied till I awake with His likeness. Because I hate myself. And this old man causes so much trouble. And it begins right here. And Lord, would You please mortify this man and start right here. This is where it starts. All right, in our text, verse 19. So it says that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore? See that? Because you're first fruit. Wherefore? My beloved brethren. And He's saying this in tenderness and understanding our frame. But my beloved brethren, let every man, let this be in you. Let this mind be in you. Let this this way of thinking, let this speech, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, swift to hear. Beloved, let every man, let this be every person in here, beginning with me, be swift to hear. Now, this is speaking of being ready to hear, or swift to hear, or anxious to hear, a good hearer. Listen to it. This is before God, number one. Before God and toward man. Listen to me now. Two ways He's speaking of here. Being swift to hear, it's in context here. It says we're begotten by the word of truth. So we need to be swift, ready, anxious, hungry hearers of the Word of Truth. The Word of Truth, God's Word, swift to hear, ready to hear, anxious to hear, prompt to hear, hungry to hear, thirsty to hear. As little children, our Lord said, except you receive the Word as little children. You know how when you tell little children something, if they're little children now, teenagers, you know, are hard to tell them anything. Well, that's a good illustration. After you've been around a while under the Word a while, you know, we get puffed up a little bit. Knowledge puffeth up. And then hopefully the older you get, start taking the puff out of you. And then you begin to realize that after all these years, I don't think I've learned anything. And then I need to listen all over again. I need to hear this like I've never heard it before. Little children, be swift to hear. You know how little children are anxious to hear? Let me tell you something. And they're ready to hear. Hungry to hear. You know, the hungry hearer, our Lord said, will go away filled. But that person who's full of themselves, full of knowledge, oh, you're not telling me anything I don't already know, preach. All right, go away then. And you'll go away just as empty as you came, just as proud as you came, just as offensive as you came. But the ready, hungry hearer will be filled with wisdom and understanding and peace and grace. Let everyone be swift to hear the Word of God, slow to speak. Listen, in context, hearing the Word of God, slow to answer, slow to pass judgment. We shouldn't come and hear the Word of God as a judge of it. We should come to hear it to be judged by it. The Pharisees came to catch Christ at His Word. To find something wrong that He said. They can't find anything wrong, He said. You can find plenty of wrong with this fellow. But I tell you what, there's plenty right that's being said. Disregard the wrong, okay? Disregard the vessel. Disregard the flesh. If we could just get past this flesh and understand that this is what God uses. This is who God uses. This treasure in earthen vessel, but it's not the vessel, it's the treasure. If you listen carefully, you'll hear line upon line, precept upon precept, truth. Slow to speech or slow to pass judgment and reach a conclusion. Slow to speak our mind. You need to listen carefully. You need to ponder. You need to meditate. Chew the cud like a clean animal does. Chew the cud before speaking. Or else we'll be found speaking against God. And how many hear us judge? My pastor once said this. He once said this, probably about my age or younger. I remember him saying this to the congregation. He said, folks, he said, you need to give at least 5 or 10 minutes of thought to what I'm saying. To what I have studied 5 or 10 hours. Before you pass judgment, he said, give it at least 5 minutes thought before you come to some conclusion. It may have been studying for hours and hours. You know, aren't you glad the Lord says be slow to speak and slow to wrath? You know what the Word of God is intended to first do to us? Shut our mouths. Whatever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. What? To do what? When we come to hear the Word, the first thing it's designed to do is shut our mouths. Let every man be swift to hear. And that... Job, the whole book of Job. You understand the book of Job? I don't either, completely. But I do know this. After they all quit talking, God answered. And the first thing out of God's mouth was, Who is this talking? Look at Ecclesiastes 5 with me. Ecclesiastes 5. Right after Proverbs. Solomon, Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. This was a reference given there to James 1:19. You saw it. This is the reference given. Verse 1. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1 says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God." That I think that means pretty much you sit still. Don't be ready to get out. But sit still. You got a lot to learn. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of food. Do you know how many proverbs speak of a fool's voice? Do you know how many? A fool is known how? By a multitude of words. A wise man, how many scriptures speak of a wise man studying to answer? That even a fool that holds his peace, that doesn't speak much, he can still be a fool, but if he holds his peace, people think he's wise. Because a fool, is his mind, the scripture says, is readily known. In other words, he's going to spew out his thoughts. It's all going to come from here, the top of his head. Fool's wrath is presently known quickly. Fool's quickly anger, but a wise man slow to anger. He's better than the mighty. He's stronger than a man that takes a city. Our Lord was slow to anger one. Oh my. Do you not admire Him more than any human being ever? Nobody's even close. Slow to anger. This is the one we ought to admire, the Lord Jesus Christ. So slow to anger. Aren't you? You know, that's our salvation. The Lord is slow to anger with us. And He doesn't retain His anger. He gets angry. He doesn't retain it. He doesn't keep it. Why? Because He's so full of mercy. And He's so ready to hear the first word of repentance. The first word of, "Father, forgive me. Forgiven." Don't you want to be like that? How have we offended Him? How often? Daily. We're unprofitable children. Rebellious children. But He's so slow to anger. Swift to hear. What'd you say? Forgive me? I'll do it. Slow to wrath. People, this is our salvation. You know the thing He gets more angry with than anything else? Is when we're not the same way. When we're not the same way with our brethren. The thing that makes Him the most angry is when we're unmerciful, when we're impatient with those that are just like us. When we get angry with and offended by those who offend us and quickly cut them off, that makes Him more angry than anything. Why? Because we offend Him every day of our lives. And yet He's merciful. All right? We need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. We should never get angry at what the Word of God says to us. How could we ever get angry with what God's Word says to us? It's all true. That woman, that Syrophoenician woman, didn't get mad, did she? The dog, the woman who the Lord ignored her. First He ignored her. Then He said, "No, this is just for the elect. I just came for the elect." And then He called her a dog. She never did get angry at her birth. She never did. She said, everything you say is true, Lord. I don't deserve to be heard. I don't deserve what you're saying. And I'm a dog. But if you just give me a few crumbs, I'll go away happy. That's the way we need to hear the Word of God. And if we do, we will. If we do, we will. And something profound will take hold of us. What's that? The Spirit and the grace of God will make us like Jesus Christ. Toward others, we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath toward others. I don't believe that. But I haven't had a little liberty yet. But toward others, you know, love, I'm going to go on. Because love rejoiceth not in iniquity. Love rejoiceth in the truth. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails, never quits, even when offended. And in many things we all offend, and we all offend in our tongue. But love will overcome that. And we are most patient with and the least angry with and the less quick to anger with those we love, aren't we? Like our children, our family, aren't we? Our family. They offend us. They do things. They're sinners just like everybody else, but we're real quick, slow to wrath with them. Well, who is our family? Right. Swift to hear. Read on and I'm going to quit. Where'd the time go? And in our text it says, so we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath in hearing the Word of God and in speaking to one another. You know, somebody once said, we have such a high opinion of ourselves that we won't listen to anybody. We're just waiting for our turn to speak. Did you hear that? We have such a high opinion of our opinion that we're not listening to anybody. We're just waiting for them to finish so we can tell them what we think. That's being wise in our own conceits. So we need to be swift to hear and hear the truth. We want to hear the truth of the matter. And he that answereth the matter before he heareth it all, he's a fool, Scripture said. Foolishness, folly, folly. Read on. It says in verse 20, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore? So this follows. It all goes together. Lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness. He's talking about speech. He's been talking about speech, hasn't he? Lay apart all filthiness, cursing and bitterness. Anybody in here prone to and quick to cursing within, maybe not without, but within. Anybody? Everybody. Why does that come so quickly, so natural? We need a lot of help, don't we? We need a lot of grace. It says, lay it apart. Cursing and bitter. Oh, Jonah, you know, got mad. And our Lord said, do you do well to be angry, Jonah? Jonah, who are you mad at? You're mad at God. You're mad at God, who's the first cause of... He's ordering everything. Our cursing and bitterness, murmuring in our tents, that's filthy cursing, bitterness, and that's against God. Read on. And superfluity of naughtiness, that is exactly what he's talking about, suggestiveness and so forth. Suggestive language that we're all so, you know, we're full of this lust of the flesh. It lusts against the Spirit, the Scripture said. So he says we need to mortify that man. And suggestiveness and speech and all, it feeds our ornery, filthy flesh. It feeds it. And we need that fella gone. Don't feed one another's naughtiness. Receive with meekness. Here's what I've been trying to say. Receive with meekness as childlike or poor and needy, hungry, ready hearer, with humility, one needing to hear it. Anybody need to hear this morning? Anybody? I sure would like to see every single head today. I do. I need this. I need it desperately. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. This is where he started it. Born of his word. Engrafted word. In other words, which is able to save your souls. The word must be engrafted, or it doesn't do anything. If it just comes to here, comes in here, and it has no effect whatsoever on the rest of our being, if it doesn't go down in here and plant and hidden in your heart, you're going to sin against God. But David said, hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee and sin against my brother. Our Lord said, let these sayings sink down deep in your ears and take hold and take root and be grafted to your very being. Because out of the abundance of the heart, if this word is planted and grafted in your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if Christ is really planted in my heart, it'll come out of my mouth. So receive it. It's the way it all starts right here. What we're doing this morning. Receive it. Lord, here am I. A wretched, rotten, blind, naked, miserable, poor, ignorant, foolish, rebellious, filthy mouth, thoughts, naughty creature. Please wash me with the water of thy word. Please renew me. Please create the image of Christ in me. Take your word and graft it in my heart, in my mind, in my mouth, in my walk, in my talk, in my deeds. And he'll do it. He'll do it. Okay.